Well, you may remember that last week the Lord spoke to us about the necessity of prayer. The prescription for personal prayer in our life. And his teaching on prayer continues today. I want to, if you will, reflect with you on two teachings of the Lord on prayer. And they are basically these, that there is a pattern he gives us for our prayer, and there is a perseverance that we should have also when we pray. Now, regarding the pattern of prayer, we have here in this gospel, as it opens, the apostles seeing how Jesus prays. They see his intensity, his love of the Father, his contemplative zeal to pray. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Like John taught his disciples to pray. So the Lord then goes on to give what has been come to be called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Now, notice the wording in this gospel from Luke is different, slightly different, than the wording that we're more familiar with in Matthew. The version we always say of the Our Father is the version from Matthew's gospel. Now, we have here, therefore, the Lord saying, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as for we ourselves forgive those who sin against us and are in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. So this is Luke's version, if you will, of the Lord's Prayer. Now, the difference in wording, which is slight but it's significant to notice, is an important thing to notice, because we need to be careful not to think that when the Lord says, here's how you pray, just say these words. Just say these words and you're praying. It's not, if the words themselves were that critical, then Luke and Matthew's version would have been identical. But what the Lord is really doing is not so much giving us words to say, but rather he's giving us a pattern for our prayer. That these are the things that ought to be included in your spiritual life. And I want to suggest to you today that there are five elements in this pattern for prayer that we can discern in the Our Father. They all begin with the letter R. Now, the first one is that we should relate to God. Now, notice the very first word is Father. Father. Behind this word is the Aramaic word Abba. That Jesus, when he spoke to his Father, always said Abba. Now, Abba is not baby talk, you know, da-da or something. Abba is the family word for God. The family word. Now, when my father died, in fact, my father died 3 years ago yesterday, but before he died, when I would call him, I wouldn't say, hello, Father, how are you today, Father? I said, Dad. Hi, Dad. We used to affectionately call him El Dado. But the idea here with this word Abba is that we are experiencing a kind of family intimacy with the Father, with God. It's the family word for God. And so we don't just pray in some formal sense, Heavenly Father, we call to you. We can do the formalities, but what the Lord is inviting us to experience in our prayer is a deep, intimate, personal communion with God, who is for us Abba. We are not, brothers and sisters, when we pray, talking to the deity. We're not talking to the Godhead. We're talking to a Father who loves us. You see the difference? We're not just doing incantations to some omnipotent God. He is surely that. But he says to us through his Son, when you pray, call me Dad. Call me Papa. Understand and experience me as a father who loves you. So the first pattern for prayer is that we should relate to God in a deeply intimate and personal way, with our hands held aloft, simply saying, Papa, Daddy, Daddy God, Father, loving Father, who loves me. Now, of course, although the Lord here is teaching us to relate to the Father in this way, we are certainly called also to have this intimate relation with the Lord Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. But for now, again, notice, step one, or pattern one, in your prayer, the Lord is teaching about prayer, is that you and I should relate to the Father as a Father, a loving Father, who loves us. Now, the second thing, second pattern for prayer, is that we ought to rejoice, to rejoice. The text says, Father, holy is your name. Hallowed, namely, holy is your name. And so this, if you will, is an invitation for us to make sure that we praise the Lord every day. Now, I know that not everybody feels like praising God every day. I know in this hot weather, I see some of you little burdened out there today with that hot weather. Amen? We also have some more serious things going on in our life. Some of us may be struggling to find work, pay bills. Some of us may be struggling with depression or anxiety. Some of us may know and have grief in our life over people that we know who are suffering. And at times it's hard to just praise God, isn't it? But I just want to remind you of an old bumper sticker that you used to see around. And it simply said, praise the Lord anyhow. Anyhow. Sometimes you just have to command your soul to praise him. The book of Psalms says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to praise him anyhow. You see, the devil wants us to be discouraged. And we're just going to say, sorry, devil, I'm encouraged. And I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't know how all these things are going to work out, but I just know that Romans 8 says to me that all things work together for good to those who love and trust the Lord. So even if you have to command your soul to just praise him anyhow. Take the Psalms, or how about even the Gloria for the Mass? Did you hear the Gloria that we sang today? I hope you were paying attention. We just said, glory to God in the highest. And peace to his people on earth. Lord, God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we praise you, we give you thanks because of your great glory. I love the way it sounds in Latin, and it says, the translation says, we give you thanks, almighty God, just because you're so great. Just praise him. Take the psalm. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. But every day you ought to just spend some time praising God. And dedicating yourself to praise and to thankfulness. Does this aspect of your prayer, is this a pattern in your prayer? You see, sometimes I think we must give God a migraine headache. All the good stuff he does for us, and all we do when we go to pray is, oh God, And look, we ought to pray about the struggles, amen? We're going to get to that, but brothers and sisters, don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to praise him. Now, so then we relate to the Father. We rejoice that his name is holy. We praise him. So we relate, we rejoice. The next thing, the next pattern is that we reflect. Your kingdom come. Now, brothers and sisters, what is a kingdom but a place where the will of a king is in effect? The king's will is in effect through the law, through the people's obedience. Now therefore, This text is part of what we talked about last week. There comes a time in prayer where we need to put a sock in it, we need to stop talking and do some listening. And we need to say, Lord, teach me. Teach me your will. You see, prayer is not just that we try to get God to do our will, but rather that we try to learn and be submitted to God's will. So in this place where we say we ask for his kingdom to come, we're basically saying, Lord, I'm going to sit still now. I'm going to let you speak to me and teach me about your will for me. What does it mean, Lord, for you to be king over my heart right now? King over my life. Now, there's a lot of ways we can do this kind of listening. We talked about them last week. But slow, prayerful reading of Scripture, this is one, amen? Where you don't just read, oh yeah, yeah, this text, you've read it, but you really haven't read it. But where you read it slowly, reflectively, be still, my soul. God is about to talk to me. He's going to tell me something, and I need to listen. So the prayerful study of Scripture, the study of our faith, prayerful reading of spiritual literature, which teaches us God's will, and sometimes just sitting down and reflecting, Lord, what have you been saying to me all day long? In the people I've met, in the experiences and events of my day. You've been saying something to me, Lord. Tell me, teach me, what is it? What is it? So when we ask for his kingdom to come, we're basically saying, Lord, I'm going to sit still now. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to let you teach me through your word, through spiritual reading, through reflecting on the teaching of the church or of Scripture, or just the events of my day. But I'm going to sit still now, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening, listening. So, we relate, we rejoice, we reflect. Next, we request. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, let bread, if you will, be a symbol for all your needs. Lord, give us our daily bread. Lord, give us what we need. Take care of us, Lord. I'm not just praying for me, Lord. I ask you to take care of me. I'm praying for my spouse, my children. I'm praying for my grandchildren. I'm praying for folks that I know need prayer. Brothers and sisters, do you know how much prayer is needed today? Just buy a newspaper. I mean, just open that thing and just let your heart become prayerful. You know, you read just the first page. There's corruption. Just pray for conversion. There's hurt. There's war. There's famine. There's drought. Pray, pray, pray. When you listen to the news, folks are struggling to find work. The economy for many people is a tough economy. Pray, pray, pray. So it is that keep praying for the needs that you have, and the needs that others have. So the Lord says, not only then should we relate, rejoice, reflect, and request, but finally he says in this first section of the teaching, he says that we ought to repent. He says, forgive us our debts or our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And please, Lord, don't subject us to the final test. A lot could be said here, but I got to keep it brief because there's still a little more to cover. But don't forget that every day you ought to repent. I think one of our biggest sins is that we don't know our sins today. We don't pay any attention to them. We live in this sort of self-esteem culture, this excuse-making culture. You know, well, I know I got a little angry with some folks today, but after all, I'm not responsible. My mother dropped me on my head when I was 2, and my father used to yell at me, and we make light of sin, but the Lord had to go through that. He had to suffer and die on a cross because of my sin. I have no business making light of it. I need to get on my knees and say, Lord, please have mercy on me. And my biggest sin is that I don't even halfway know how much mercy I really do need from you, how hard I can be to live with. And not just my sins of commission, but my sins of omission. And all the stupid, dumb attitudes that I carry around, I just need to be free of them, but I hang on to them. Lord, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And then we pray for deliverance from this present evil age. St. Paul refers to the world in which we live as this present evil age. It's an age dominated by rebellion, by sin, by lust and greed and egotism and all kinds of just really deep, deep drives of sin. And we say, Lord, please deliver me from the test of this world. And from that final test, when all those forces of evil will coalesce on the day before you come in glory. Lord, please deliver me from this present evil age. So we pray earnestly for forgiveness for our sins and for deliverance from the influence of this present evil age. So the first teaching on prayer is that the Lord gives us a kind of a pattern for prayer. Now, do you have to do all five of those every single day? Well, no, but if you're looking for a structure for maybe if you're going to spend 20 minutes in prayer, hey, spend 4 or 5 minutes on each of these. Just relate. Loving Father, I know you're my Father. I love you, and I know you love me, and relate to Him. Rejoice, reflect, request, and repent. That's a pretty quick outline for your daily prayer, if you're looking for one. On the other hand, it may just simply be a good way for us to reflect on our overall spiritual life, where we simply say, are these five elements a frequent part of my prayer? See? So you may just go to prayer one day and the Lord says, I just want you to spend time today rejoicing. But again, there's a good structure for prayer right there. All right, now the second teaching is a little bit more, well, personally, it's a little bit more troubling and puzzling. And that is that the Lord teaches us that we have to persevere in prayer. Now, you might say that there is an insistence on persistence that the Lord teaches us here. He tells this story of a grouchy neighbor. And there's a neighbor who knocks on his neighbor's door and says, hey man, I know it's late, but I had a friend who just arrived and I need some bread. You got some extra bread? And the guy inside has already gone to sleep. And in those ancient homes, everybody pretty much slept in the large front room. And you'd put some of the furniture in front of the door and you'd clear a space to roll out the mats on which people would sleep. So in order to get up and open the door, you got to step over 3 or 4 people and ask them to move and move some furniture and unbar the door. It's a big hassle. Amen? So the guy said, he's calling through the window, man, I need some help.
Go away. It's late. I've already barred the door. My wife and kids are sleeping. Go away.
Knocks again. Oh. And the Lord finally says, I tell you what, this grouchy neighbor is going to get up and give this guy all the bread he wants just to be rid of him. Simply because of his persistence, he'll be heard. And then the Lord says, how much more so will your Father answer your prayer if you persist day and night? He tells the story, another story, also a very humorous story, in Luke 18, about an unjust judge. And day after day, this widow came and said, I demand justice from you against my opponent. Render decisions for me.
Go away, old woman. Leave me alone.
But day after day, she came and she pestered him. Finally, he said to himself, believe me. If I don't give this woman what she wants, she will end by doing me violence. And So the Lord says, pay attention to the unjust judge. How much more so will your Father, who is not an unjust judge, give you what you want if you call out to him day and night? There are these teachings that we have to persist in prayer. You saw this rather tedious dialogue where Abraham is pestering God. What if there's 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 30? 20? 10? All right, already! A kind of a pestering of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say this to you. I do not know why God teaches this. But I know he does teach it. But I don't know why. We do not need to persist in our prayer and to pester God because God is stubborn. He is not. Because God is deaf. He is not deaf. We do not need to pester him because he is unwilling, or we don't need to pester him because he's forgetful. Well, maybe God forgot. All I know is the Lord says an important part of your prayer is that you persist in it, that you ask over and over and over again for some things. Some things God gives us right away, but other things, for whatever mysterious reason, he wants us to keep asking over and over, and even to the point where we pester him to death. It cannot be because of God. He is not deaf, he is not forgetful, he is not stubborn. The reason God teaches this must somehow be for us. God somehow knows that it's important for us to persevere, to stay at the prayer wheel, to pray and not lose heart, to keep praying day and night, to pester God. This is important for us. He teaches it. It's somewhat mysterious, but he teaches it. Pray, 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 pray. Do not lose heart. Keep praying. Brothers and sisters, it's a mystery. But it's taught, and we simply have to accept it. Now, when God doesn't answer our prayers, there are many possible explanations, and I'll give you a few, but I want you to be careful with these explanations, because it's quite possible that none of the things I'm about to mention are true about you, and that God still makes you wait. But let me read them anyway, because there are some possibilities that our prayers are not effective because of other reasons. Let me remind you of them. At one level, it's possible that our prayers are not effective because our faith is not strong. The Lord says, Matthew 21, he says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So it's possible that our prayer is ineffective or ineffective because our faith is weak. The book of James says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed about by the wind. That man shall not think he will receive anything from the Lord. There was a line in Matthew's gospel where the Lord was in Nazareth, and it said he couldn't work many miracles there, because their lack of faith so disturbed him. So one reason that our prayer may be ineffectual is that our faith is weak. We really doubt that God can pull it off. Another possibility is that we ask for improper things or with wrong motivation. Again, the book of James says, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives and for things on which you will simply get pleasure. So the Lord is teaching us that there are just times where we ask for inappropriate things or with wrong motivation. And the proper answer to that, if God loves us, is no. So it's possible that our faith is weak. It's possible that we are asking for improper things or have a wrong motivation. It's also possible that there's unrepented sin in our life. says here in the book of Isaiah, the arm of the Lord has not been shortened, so he cannot save. His ear is not dull, so that he cannot hear. But it is your iniquities, your sins, that have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear your prayer. Isaiah 59. So again, it's possible that because we are in very serious and unrepented sin, God won't listen to our prayer. He only wants to hear one thing from us, repentance. Then, until that time, we have blocked our blessings. So don't block your blessings. If you have serious or unrepented sin in your life, get on your knees and pray God for deliverance, get to confession, and get on with praying fruitfully. It's possible that one reason that God does not answer our prayer is because we have not been generous ourselves with the needy and the poor. And so the book of Proverbs says, if any man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. So again, perhaps the sin of being ungenerous or unkind to the poor. And then finally, a final possible explanation for why our prayers might be ineffective is that God really can't trust us with blessings. So the text says, the Lord says, if you remain in me, my word remains in you, ask whatever you want, and you'll be given it. But some of us want to live apart from God's word and think that God can trust us with blessings. He can't trust us with those things. Another text says, if you have not been trustworthy with worldly things, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? So again, we have to prove trustworthy recipients of God's grace. Now, brethren, all these things could be possible reasons that our prayer is ineffectual, ineffective. But even if none of those things in your life is true, it's still possible that God just says, keep praying. I want to hear some more prayers on this one. Pray some more, pray some more, pray some more. Keep pestering me, keep asking. There's a mystery in this teaching. God simply says, pray, 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 pray. Monica prayed 30 years for her son Augustine to come to the faith. 30 years. There are just some things that God wants us to wait on and to persevere in. Why? I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for some folks now that I know are looking for work. It's tough for them. Why, God, don't you just answer now? Nothing. Again, why? Wait. You're praying for folks, I'm praying for folks, maybe for something in our own life. And God says, wait and keep praying. And we feel desperate at times. Don't you know that I'm desperate? Still nothing. Keep praying, keep praying. The Lord says, pray and do not lose heart. Maybe he's trying to grow our faith. Whatever his motives, just keep praying. There's a song that says, wait on the Lord, and be of good courage. Be still and wait for the Lord. Another song says, you can't hurry God. You just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God you can't hurry. He'll be there though, don't worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. But still, I declare to you a mystery. A mystery. Why does God sometimes say, wait and keep praying? I do not leave you with a simple answer. I simply leave you with this call to faith. Keep praying. Don't give up. Pray, pray, pray. When you finish doing that, pray some more. But keep praying. And don't give up a half hour before the blessing comes. Just keep praying. It's a mystery. It's puzzling. It's disturbing at times. We get angry at God at times for his seeming delay. But keep on praying. There was a man who was praying one day and he said to God, "How long is a million years for you?" He said, "About a minute." And the man said, "I'll bet $1 million for you. How much is that like?" He said, "About a penny." So the man said to God, "Can I have a penny?" And God said, "In a minute." You can't hurry God. You just gotta wait. But he'll be there, don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time.